4.
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle.
And welcome into the Down the Middle podcast. Scott Marsh, Vince Mastracco with you. Episode 4 coming your way. Hope everybody is enjoying their holiday season. And certainly, Vince, we've got a great interview here today that we've got lined up. I think a lot of people will like this, especially with the Northern California tie and a very special mark coming up for one of the great golf courses in the world. Of course, we're talking about Pebble Beach today.
Pebble Beach, the mecca that is Pebble Beach. And people can argue. And by the way, Scott, good morning.
Yes, good morning
and,
to you.
You know, we've got our, we'll let our friend in here, a friend of both of ours, longtime friend of mine, and that is Frank LaRosa, who is the host and co-producer of Pebble Beach at 100, which will be airing upcoming over the holiday season a number of times, but premiering on KVIE. And to my knowledge, I think this is the only documentary I've seen, even considering national media, of honoring Pebble Beach at 100 years old. So I think with that, you know, we just turn it over to Frank. Good morning. Great to have you here. And how and when did you get the idea to do this?
Hi, guys. First of all, let me, before we get started here, let me say that I am so excited to have you guys doing this podcast. You know, the world of golf is, if you're a golfer, you recognize the fact that there's never enough information, and we love everything we can get. And the fact that you guys have decided to do this podcast and bring it to Sacramento, I think is fabulous. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, Frank, you are Mr. Northern California Golf, for people who don't know that already, with everything that you do for the sport in this region. We appreciate that. You have your own golf show. And of course, you've done so many things with KVIE. This one's going to air December 11th, I believe, is the premiere for the Pebble Beach at 100. But just catch us up on some of the other things you've done at KVIE for people who don't know.
Sure, Scott. So it's interesting. First of all, my first job out of college was at KVIE. So I was a producer director and loved it. And, you know, it was the best job in the world. So all these years later, I literally am sitting in a golf cart on the first tee at Hagen Oaks waiting to tee off, and someone taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around. There's this very attractive blonde, and she says, "Hi, I'm Kelly from Channel 6, and we're doing a golf show, and everybody says I need to talk to you." Well,
you have some good friends if that's the case.
There's some karma, though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
All of that,
it's good
back,
not to burn bridges.
So we, you know, over the course of the last 5 years or so, produced 7 shows called Tee Time Golf in Northern California. And because of my relationship with the golf world and the PGA in Northern California, my guests happen to include Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson and Johnny Miller and Billy Casper and Annika Sorenstam, and you know, the list just went on and on and on. So they were a great series of shows, and I never described them as golf shows as others did. I described them more as shows about people that somehow were associated with the world of golf, because I think people, everybody has a story, and when you have a chance to tell those stories, it's fun. So we hadn't done a show in a while, and it occurred to me last year that Pebble Beach is coming up on this 100th anniversary, and the U.S. Open is going to be there. The USGA gave them a special, 1 year earlier to do the U.S. Open in 2019 as opposed to 20 when it was scheduled. And it all kind of fit into this 100th anniversary, and I thought, wow, that'd be a great show to do. And so I suggested it to KVIE, and ultimately they found a sponsor, InterWest Insurance, decided that was a great idea. And so we went off to produce this documentary, and therein lies the rub. You never realize what you're getting into till you get into it.
It's certainly a lot of work, no question. You see the final product, and then we've had a chance to see a preview of this, and it's absolutely fantastic. Any golf fan, anybody who appreciates the region of Monterey and Carmel and Pebble Beach will just love to see this for so many different reasons. But anytime you start a venture like this, I know from doing a documentary too that was just a little over 30 minutes, the time, the effort, the research, everything that goes into it, it's a several month process. It just doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, we actually did our first shoot in August, I think. And that actually was kind of a compressed schedule there even. But, you know, our timing was to to get it on the air before the end of the year so that it could qualify for this year's Emmy competition. So whether that'll happen or not, who knows? But I think we've got a product that, as you say, golfers will certainly love. But I, you know, when I do these, I try to make sure that the audience that's not a golfer finds something to appreciate as well. So there's a lot of history in it, things that I had no idea after we had dug into it that had happened over the years. And, you know, and the fact that the ownership group consists of Peter Ubaroth, Dick Ferris, that's right, who used to run United Airlines, and two other people that, you know, have a bit of fame to them, Clint Eastwood and Arnold Palmer. So, you know, you got a group like that.
The dream team.
Absolutely. And so, you know, all of those things sort of combined to create this story, I think, that that hopefully is going to be interesting to a lot of people.
Well, I think the progress of this starts with the history of Pebble Beach and Samuel F.B. Morse, which I have a question on that for in a moment. But taking it up through the times of the Japanese ownership, and that was a period of time in the 80s. I believe in addition to Pebble Beach, there was Japanese investment in Yosemite National Park. I believe it was Curry Company that they owned. And so then a lot has changed from there. And so in the case of Pebble Beach, everybody said, we'll bring in these dream investors. And these guys reached out, Arnie, Clint, they reached out to other people that they knew and tapped them on the shoulder to come in and be a part of Pebble Beach. So if we really went down through the ownership list, it gets even longer.
It does. And one of the things that I found most interesting and didn't know, first of all, one other ownership group was 20th Century Fox. They were able to buy Pebble Beach with the profits from that movie Star Wars. Was that
I think I've heard
movie?
Of it.
Yeah. This current ownership group of those four, you know, big four that we call them, or they call them, they've owned Pebble Beach longer than any other ownership group in that whole 100 years.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I was really surprised to learn that.
Okay. All right. Well, take me through a little bit more of this, and in terms of, or take us through this a little bit more, in terms of the various metamorphoses that the course has gone through, in terms we were discussing before going on the air, the redevelopment of the fifth hole, there have been some changes in the course. I think in the case of Pebble Beach, every time a designer has come in, Nicholas Palmer, et cetera, the course has been enhanced. So give us a quick brushstroke on the metamorphosis of Pebble.
You know, it was interesting. I was interviewing Ken Morton Sr. from Hagen Oaks, who mentioned the fact that, you know, for a golf course to go through as many design changes as this one has and still come out to be incredible
is really
remarkable. Yeah. So, you know, it started with two amateurs. You know, Morse hired two amateurs to go out and design this golf course. And they took a look at the land and decided that, you know, if you look at it, I suppose, from a blimp, it sort of has this figure eight approach so that as many holes as possible could be on the ocean. You know, over the course of the years, playability the 18th hole was a par four that was something like 380 yards. And I think it was a U.S. amateur that was coming up or something to that effect. And there was a complaint that, gee, that wasn't much of a golf hole. And they brought in this English banker and golfer, and his name escapes me at this moment, but they added like 156 yards to the hole, creating, if not the most iconic golf hole in the world, certainly one of them, the finishing hole at Pebble Beach. So, you know, it went from being a sort of a par four to, you know, a 545 best in the world kind of golf hole.
No question. It was a good redesign. And as you mentioned, there's been so many different redesigns here. Again, we're talking with Frank LaRosa, the documentary that's airing on KVIE first December 11th, and then we'll replay throughout the month, Pebble Beach at 100. And we talk about the origins of Pebble Beach. And one of the things I found so fascinating in watching this is that, you know, it started way back with the migration to California with the big four that, you know, everybody knows about, the Stanford Lelands of the world, and go back to the railroad days and all of those things. When you see that prime real estate, it's amazing how they conserved that land and came up with the concept of building a golf course to begin with, because in today's world, you probably wouldn't see that, because that is some of the most prime real estate in the entire world, Frank.
Well, and initially it was going to be a real estate development, and the original owners had, I mean, I've seen maps of the lots all sort of, you know, penciled in on that land, which is, I mean, you think of homes there, that would really sort of destroy a most beautiful part of the world. But it was Samuel F.B. Morse that came in apparently about 6 years later and said, you know, maybe if you build this golf course, that will help migration to the West. And, you know, we'll build this resort as well. And you know, we've got some room for some homes here in the forest. So let's try that. Apparently, one lot was sold. And it was the lot that is now apparently where number five is, the hole that Jack Nicklaus redesigned. The original number five sort of went up into the woods, and it was kind of, you know, you finished the fourth hole and you kind of went nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I played the course, I thought, well, this is kind of odd, but not realizing that there was a home there. And it took years and years and years and years and years to finally reacquire that land, and Jack Nicklaus put in one of the most beautiful par threes right next to the cliff that ever was,
and it fits in there naturally.
Yes, it does.
It really does. That ravine where everything went up into the woods. It's all there, but you would not know that there was once a golf hole there. And so the flow of the golf course, I think he enhanced it.
No question.
I mean, and there again, we're back to another metamorphosis moment, and the golf course keeps getting, the design improves. So
absolutely. It talks right into the history because, you know, when you look at all the major championship play that's been there, and you go from five to six, and you talk about some of the most famous shots ever hit at Pebble Beach. Maybe that second shot that Tiger Woods hit in 2000, you guys chronicled that, where nobody thought it was humanly possible to reach in two up the cliff. And
out of the rough.
As Roger Maltby, who's in the documentary as well, you got a chance to sit down and talk to him. And maybe his most famous call is he thinks it is. That shot is part of Pebble Beach lore. There's so many shots that are. Tom Watson's chip at 17. You could go on and on.
For listeners to the podcast that will tune to KVIE to watch this, there will be repeats after December 11th. But I have friends, golf friends on the East Coast that are aware of my former media connection and to golf. So they may want to see it. Will there eventually be a link up? Can I give them a link at some point where they can see this?
Yeah, and I think that link probably comes up the day that it airs.
The day of the first airing. So be looking for that. We'll, of course, post this on social media. But I do want to inform people then. Let's go. We talked about Roger Maltby. You had Dave Stockton. Give me all of the golfers that you talked to in there. And my real question is, did anybody not want to talk about Pebble Beach?
Yeah, I think that's like saying, do you not want a Christmas gift? Dave Stockton calls it his favorite golf course. So I was able to get Peter Jacobson, Marco Mira, Bob Lurie, who was the owner of the Giants.
Giants for a long time,
a minority owner. Dave Stockton, Roger Maltby. And most of the show is carried by the CEO of Pebble Beach, Bill Piraki. And Bill Piraki is a guy that's from Boston. And he still carries a Boston accent. My first question to him was, Bill, how does a guy that grows up, you know, rooting for the Red Sox, end up running Pebble Beach? And that, you know, resulted in a 25-minute conversation. He's a delightful man. And everything that they're doing at Pebble Beach, they have 2 million people a year that visit that place from all over the world. And
there are baseball teams, not the Red Sox, but there are baseball teams that don't draw 2 million people.
So, that's right.
You know what struck me in watching this, Frank, and what I learned from it, is obviously people know Pebble Beach is one of the greatest courses in the world. And the fact that it's a public course, it might be the number one public course in the world. And the fact that it is a public course is incredible. But just everything that they do for charity, the spirit of the area, they have held back to the beginnings of this course when it was kind of first built for conservancy and kind of to save the landscape. They have kept the honor of this throughout the years and what is such a major real estate area, and that could be for so much for profit, right? They do so much for nonprofit. I think that you really hit on and did a great job of sharing that about the spirit and what it's all about down there.
Yeah. You know, they, I think they are very proud, and they think that Samuel B. Morse would be very proud of
they've tried to carry on that tradition.
Absolutely. And with the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Pure Insurance Championship, mm-hmm. where the first C juniors get to play with professional golfers and with their concours, you know, they donate millions of dollars to the local community and much of it to youth charities.
It's cash donations because a lot of tournaments will do donations in kind, have the mobile dental office come and do teeth checkups, and that becomes a donation in kind. They're important as well, but I think it's significant to note Pebble Beach mm-hmm. pushes a lot of cash into the counties surrounding Pebble Beach. So just a point to note. So my Samuel F.B. Morse, I always thought the Samuel F.B. Morse at Pebble Beach was the guy that invented the Morse code. I learned something in your document. There were two F.B. Morses, Samuel F.B. Morses?
Yeah, apparently one of them was Finley Brown and the other one was Finley something or other. But
Finley
yeah.
Breeze or yeah, Breeze or something.
They were cousins. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's a little like George Foreman naming all those kids George.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about good genetics in that family. Boy, they got it worked out all across the board.
No question.
You know, part of this too, which makes Pebble Beach so special, you have the tournament, you have the championship golf. But you have the celebrities, too. And, of course, going back to Bing Crosby and the clam bake before it was taken over by AT&T and just how special that is. Anybody who had a chance to be a part of those tournaments or go out and watch any of those tournaments, the feel of the celebrities who wanted to play over the years in the tournament is second to none.
Yeah, they, you know, and that started very humbly, you know, Bing just getting a few of his friends together to play golf and you know, it was down in Southern California, and when somebody suggested, you know, we could do this up in Monterey and maybe play three golf courses, mm-hmm. you know, he was pretty excited about that. There's a funny story that Jim Fitzpatrick, the local golf artist, tells.
Yeah, we had him on a recent podcast.
Yeah. Well, Jim is a storyteller.
Yes, he is.
And he spoke about the fact that someone suggested to Bing Crosby, but, you know, they played Pebble Beach, Spyglass Hill, and Cypress Point at that point. And they suggested, well, we can't play Cypress Point because that 16th hole, par 3, is a 200-yard carry. The amateurs will never make it. And Bing said, well, let's go out and take a look, and then we'll talk about it. And literally, he teed it up and knocked it in the hole for an ace.
Wow.
And he turned around and he said, well, I don't think it's that
tough. Seems all right to me. That's an amazing story. You know, and I kind of equate what Bing Crosby did with Pebble Beach in the tournament to almost like William Randolph Hearst and Hearst Castle, in terms of all the celebrities he would fly in and just they'd want to be at this castle. They'd want to be a part of it. It was the thing and the place to be. It's kind of what that era was for Pebble Beach, what Bing Crosby was. Everybody wanted to be a part of Bing Crosby and be a part of that tournament.
No question. You know, Marco Mira in the show.
Who's won it five times, by the way.
Who has won it five times, yeah. That's right. Was, you know, talks about it almost reverentially. I mean, is that a word, reverentially? But basically what he said was, who wouldn't want to play in this?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to play with political figures, with athletes, with celebrities, with, you know, all of the folks that we get to come in and be our amateur partners? You know, it's maybe the most exciting tournament on tour.
You're listening to the Down the Middle podcast with Scott Marsh, Vince Mastracco, and our guest today is Frank LaRosa, and we're previewing the upcoming documentary that will air on KVIE-TV, the PBS TV station in the center of Northern California. Frank is the host and co-producer. Okay, very quickly after all of that, I noticed it when I watched it that Marco Mira was in a suit. How did you get Marco Mira in a suit? Because all the other players that you interviewed were in golf attire.
So that interview actually took place at the Langley. And the Langley is a fundraiser that the Northern California PGA Foundation puts on every year. And Marco Mira was our honoree for that.
Yeah, he didn't have any logos on his suit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Frank, I thought part of what made this documentary so great, obviously the cinematography, the photos, the landscape of everything, but just the historical artifacts and research you were able to get and show on the screen really pops. We can talk about it, but seeing it visually is something that I think our audience is really going to love. I know your audience will too. I want to ask you, of everything that you're involved with this project, what maybe stood out to you the most? What are you most proud about? Or maybe what surprised you the most about doing all of this?
Wow, that's an interesting question. You know, I think what surprised me is I sort of go into these things open-minded, feeling like everything is going to, you know, just kind of come one step after the other. And it didn't in this case. There were hurdles to get over and some issues along the way, but none that certainly kept the program from becoming what I think is going to be a really good show. But you know, it's interesting, Scott, being the person on camera, because you're the one that gets the compliments. You're the one that gets the and actually, if there's some criticism, you get that as well. But but just because I'm the guy on camera, but the team, you know, that worked to put this together is unbelievable. The cinematographers, my co-producer, Toby Montez at KVIE, and our editor, you know, I call the magician, Nathan. You know, there's 24 frames per second in a video. And when they start talking about, you know, if that shot was three frames shorter, you know, you're getting down to gnat's eyes. And every shot needs to be colorized, you know, because every shot as it is shot, you know, may not be the best color rendition. So the after work is
post-production.
And, you know, and there's always, you know, for years, if you've been around anybody that does video, you know, you're out in the field doing something and you go, well, that's okay, we'll fix it in post. Well, in many cases, you know, Nathan did. It's remarkable what the post-production does to make this show all that it is.
No doubt.
So back to Scott's.
Yeah.
Any moment that just stood out to you the most or that just anything in there?
You know, it was difficult trying to keep out of people's way. Trying not to interfere with the golfers, and trying not, in many cases, not to show faces where we didn't have releases and things like that. So the fact that kind of all went together, there was a moment where we're shooting the opening scene and we're on a balcony overlooking the 18th hole, and the 18th hole is beautiful. The rest of the fairway had been aerated. So the aeration actually happened about the same time we were shooting. So, you know, we were able, obviously, to get all the shots.
Fix it in post.
Before it happened. But there we are on this balcony, and it's a beautiful sunny day. And they have poured about 15,000 watts of light right in my eyes because we're trying to balance the background of this beautiful location with me on camera. And all you can do is pour as much light as possible into it. And, you know, when I look at that scene afterwards, which almost doesn't look real. I mean, it almost looks like, you know, a green screen that you're against. But the majesty of that place, to me, comes out in that shot. And I went, that was pretty good.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty special. Pebble Beach at 100 is a very special documentary. And I think that the biggest thing about this whole thing to me is that it's still a public course. Anybody can go there and play, enjoy this. You don't have to be Tiger Woods to get out there. You don't have to be a president of the United States, anything like that. Any one of us can go out there and play Pebble Beach. It's not inexpensive, obviously, but it's a bucket list, and anybody can get out there. And I know that's part of the charm of this whole area and course.
You're absolutely right, Scott. You know, it was the first public golf course to host a U.S. Open, and as you alluded to earlier, it probably is the number one public golf course in the world. But having had the opportunity to play it a number of times, I suppose the only piece of advice I would give to anybody that hasn't played it is walk the course. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take a cart. First of all, you can't take the carts off the cart path
walk
anyway.
Walk it with a caddy.
Walk it with a caddy. You have opportunity as you're walking that golf course to appreciate it, to look around, to see where you are, as opposed to getting in your cart, running to the next shot, and hitting your next shot.
The shots are kind of irrelevant, aren't they? I mean, if you're playing like you or the three of us, I mean, it's the view, it's the beauty.
And it's the moment. It's the relationship. The head pro down there, Eric Lippert, just won an award for the PGA, and I'm doing a little video for him. But in it, he says to all of his folks that work for him, enjoy this.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Look around. Exactly. Every day when you're here, look around and see where you are. This place is magical. And when you walk that course and you recognize Arnold Palmer walked here, Ben Hogan walked here, Jack Nicklaus walked here, you know, you're walking in the same footprints and you're not hitting the same shots, I know. And but it's, you know, you soak all that in and you share it. You know,
exactly.
I'd look over at you and say, isn't this great?
Yep.
And, you know, and Vince would hit a shot that'd make us wonder why we're not hitting shots like him.
There we go.
The more shots you hit, the more chances you get to see the view. That's how
right.
I look at it.
Yeah. First of all, I want to dispel the rumor that Pebble Beach at 100 has anything to do with my scores there.
I think you probably reinforced the rumor rather than dispelled it by going public with that. Any stories that didn't get in?
The opportunity to interview people like Dave and Peter Jacobson and Mark O'Meara. Yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, there's to fit all the history we did and get those interviews and get it all in a half an hour is pretty tough to do, but. You know, Peter Jacobson talked a number of times about the first time he ever played Pebble Beach. And he was out doing a practice round, and he decided, because it was getting late in the day, to cut over. Now, where he actually cut over, I don't know. My guess is it was probably from 8 he cut over to 14 or something like that, because that was easy to do.
Yeah, start to cut, take the inland.
Yeah. And he said... all of a sudden, he's there on the tee, and this gentleman comes up behind him, and he says, do you mind if I join you? Well, the gentleman was Arnold Palmer. And Peter Jacobson, as a rookie, realized he had just cut in front of Arnold Palmer in his practice round. And he was so impressed that Palmer didn't big time him, mm-hmm. you know, didn't say, you know, rookie, you're doing this wrong, but actually invited him to play the rest of the round. No, invited, asked if he could play with Peter Jacobson. That's Arnold Palmer. One quick story that didn't get in there. Roger Maltby. Everybody has their Arnold Palmer story. I think this is the best Arnold Palmer story I've ever heard. Roger Maltby is 8 years old. His parents are taking him to the Crosby to see the golf tournament. They walk down to the first tee just as Arnold Palmer's teeing off. Everybody hits their shots. The crowd takes off, and Roger is lost. He's there alone. His parents are gone in the middle of this crowd. He has no idea what he's going to do. He follows the crowd. He gets to the second tee, and he works his way up to the ropes. And, you know, probably at that age, he was probably just, you know, face maybe just over the ropes. Same thing. Everybody hits their tee shot. They take off. The crowd goes away. Arnold Palmer's putting his club back in the bag. He turns and sees this young boy by himself, and he says, "Are you all right, son?" And Roger Maltby says, "Well, sir, I've lost my parents." And incredible, wonderful, iconic Arnold Palmer sticks out his hand to Roger Maltby, 8-year-old Roger Maltby, and he says, "Son, you come walk with me down the fairway. I bet they'll find you."
There you go.
Yeah, I think he'd be pretty recognizable there. That is Arnold Palmer at his best. And Peter Jacobson, how lucky was he to get to play with Jack Lemmon in the Pro-Am
for so many years. All those years,
you know,
yes.
The Jack Lemmons of the world, the Bill Murrays, the George Lopez's, they're as much a part of the story of Pebble Beach. And, of course, the Tap Room has a world of its own as well at Pebble Beach.
If those walls could talk.
We could do a podcast just on the Tap Room.
We could. All right, Vince. Well... We have been really privileged today to talk with Frank. This is quite a documentary. We're lucky we've got a chance to see it in advance. Everybody else gets a chance to see it December 11th, and then afterwards, and the link will be out at that point too. But this is must viewing for any fan of golf and just any fan of the region of Pebble Beach.
And again, to my East Coast friends that always ask me about Pebble Beach when I see them, there will be a link. I'll put it in my social media. So if you can't remember KVIE TV, PBS Television in Sacramento.
Channel 6. That's
it. Channel 6. So it is going to be there available for you. And I think that any golf fan, you don't have to be a Northern California resident to appreciate what you put together, Frank. And I mean that totally sincerely, not just because we have microphones turned on. any golf fan that has ever thought about Pebble Beach has got to appreciate, I think, this documentary.
Without a doubt.
Thank you. Thank you both for your kind words. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you took the time to take a look at it. And
I've watched it 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So. You know, the other shows that I did with, you know, all of the folks that I mentioned were certainly, you know, very enjoyable and meant a lot to me. But there was just something special about this particular show. You know, the fact that Pebble Beach let us do it, number one, is remarkable.
Says a lot about your credibility and what they believed in the project.
I appreciate that, Scott. And as I got more involved and talked to more people, I recognized that that had a lot to do with it. So in many ways, I was carrying kind of a heavy burden because, you know, I certainly wanted to do a job that that people would enjoy, and at the same time, I wanted to make sure that it would be something that we could all be proud of. And you know, it's always tough to kind of dot all those I's and cross all those T's. But I think we've come pretty close. And again, I appreciate your kind words from both of you, and thanks very much for the opportunity to talk about this. And all I'd say is 7 o'clock, December 11th. Turn on your televisions. It might be listed as a viewfinder. Viewfinder being the overall series name that local production is kind of tagged at Pebble Beach. So if you turn it on, it says viewfinder. Wait a couple of seconds; it'll be Pebble Beach.
We will definitely do that, Frank. Thank you for the time. Pebble Beach is timeless. This documentary will be timeless, too. You've done a great job here, and this is something that's going to last, and people are going to want to watch, not just now, but in the years to follow. So really, congratulations to you. And I think Vince and I, the only other thing we want to make sure of is that we get the invite to your Emmy Awards ceremony.
I think it's Emmy worthy. I think it's Emmy worthy.
There's no doubt about that.
So it'd be a Northern California Emmy Award. And yeah, I'll just... Push that thought forward to the public right now. So
you let us know when the date is. We'll be there for you, Frank. Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Let's go tee it up.
This has been the Down the Middle podcast with Scott Marsh and Vince Mastracco. Our guest today, host and co-producer of Pebble Beach at 100, is Frank LaRosa. And Down the Middle because Scott and Vince don't do rough.
But we wish everybody a happy holidays, and we'll be back with more podcasts in 2020.